Mark chapter 4. We have a visitor with us today, Karen. It's good seeing you here today. God bless you. From beautiful Arizona, my favorite state next to Michigan. And what a beautiful place. So we get into this morning. I'll be honest with you. This message is for me. You can listen in if you'd like. But many times I put together messages, takes a while, put it together. This one, God just gave it to me. He said, you need this one today. You need this one. Because I'm going to tell you something. We go through storms. And I believe our church right now is in a storm. And we have a choice what we're going to do. You're here today, you've never trusted in Christ. You're in a spiritual storm that you need to come to Christ. Mark chapter 4, we're going to read this and then move into the text. Mark chapter 4, I actually want to start back because I want to get the context of what we read. In verse 30, and Jesus is speaking here and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he in the word unto them, as they were able to bear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all these things to his disciples. Before we get to our text, Jesus has been preaching to a number of people out here. He's talked to these about the grain of mustard seed and how when your faith grows, you can overcome anything. And now what he does, and he takes them aside, and now watch verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, so if we get this, it was daytime, he was preaching, it's now approaching the evening time, and was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. You ought to underline that one. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. As he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we come before you today. And Lord, many with their mouths will agree that you are in full control, that you are the Lord of lords and the God of gods. Lord, we need to all understand from our hearts that you indeed are the way, the truth, and the life. Not only does no man come to the Father, but through you. But Lord, when we go through the storms of life, and they will come, there are some maybe here today that have never truly trusted in Jesus. And when they go through the storms, they're not going through the storm with you, they're going through it alone. And to go through the storms of life alone is a sad and horrible thing. We look today, we see suicides are out of control in America today. People have no hope because they don't know where to go when the storms hit. You are our rock, you are our refuge, you are strength. And Lord, today I pray that all of us would listen very carefully to your words today. We see the picture of what's being painted for us. And Lord, I pray for our church. We've been going through a storm, And Lord, the winds are pounding, the waves are coming up, and Lord, there's a way in which you'll bring peace, and may we follow that way. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you will do in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a cruise. I was on a cruise one time, my first cruise, and we hit a storm. If you're ever on a cruise ship in a storm, and it wasn't one of the bigger cruise ships, it was one of the smaller cruise ships. We were sitting there, it was shortly after dinner, and all of a sudden I had this feeling in my stomach. Anybody ever had that feeling in their stomach? Like the food that you just ate is going in reverse. And the sphincters that once kept the food down are now going to fully open in order for the food to protrude in another way. It's called regurgitation, right? Anyway, that day my wife looked for me. I was gone because where I was at the throne of mercy. And I could feed the fish a warm meal that day. It was not a pleasant experience. The storms can come upon us. I never expected a storm. We weren't told a storm was coming. But when that storm hit, it went from a nice, quiet, peaceful, godly cruise. By the way, it was a wonderful cruise, by the way. It was a cruise ship where all the bars were closed. All the casinos were turned into a bookstore. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. All day, when you had your events, they were preaching, gospel singing, gospel entertainers, things like that. I'm going to tell you something. Greatest cruise I've ever been on. Only been on two. So anyway, the problem with smooth sailing, folks, is this. It really doesn't build much of our faith. I had to have some faith that day, faith that God was still in control, faith that God wasn't going to sink the ship, and by the way, that God would make sure the captain knew what he was doing. We live in a world, if you haven't noticed, we live in a world that's filled with hatred and violence. If you haven't kept on the news, yesterday in two separate shootings, one in El Paso, one in Dayton, Ohio, 35 people were killed. Another, I believe, somewhere around 66 people were sent to the hospital. That's right on the heels of the week before when there was a shooting at Walmart in Mississippi and another shooting out in California. The problem isn't guns, folks. The problem is the human heart. The problem is people see no hope. They see no end to anything. But rather than turn to God, we're going to find another way to do it. America, wake up. We need to turn to God. We'll end up, like I read this morning to our prayer men in Hosea chapter 6, what God will do to those who will reject Him and not turn to Him. And folks, I don't want that for America. America is in a storm. And America is going to turn every way they can. What we need is a different political party. What we need is a different president. What we need is a different senator. We need a different governor. We need a different congressman. We need a different mayor. We need a different whatever it might be. No, we don't. We need the Lord. And until we turn to God, folks, the storm's going to get worse. Watch it as we go through this, and I think you'll see that. I believe three ways in which faith is built. And sometimes, listen, folks, God needs to rock our boat. And I believe right here at New Life, our boat needed rocking. I believe it needed rocking, and God's rocking the boat. God's still in control. God knows what He's doing. I'll give you three quick points, and I'll expound upon them. First of all, faith is built in the rough waters, not the smooth ones. Faith isn't built when all is going great. Health is good. Money's coming in. Kids are actually obeying. All those things. That doesn't build faith, folks. What builds faith are the rough waters, the tough times, those medical times, those times in church, those times in your family. Second of all, faith is being with Jesus in the rough waters. If you're not saved here today, the presence of Jesus will not be felt in those rough waters. You'll go through those rough waters feeling alone because Jesus isn't going to force Himself into your life. You need to realize the fact that you're a lost sinner, destined to an eternal hell, and turn to Him, or you'll live forever as you are when you take that last breath. You'll spend eternity separated from God. Christian, understand something today. Jesus is with you in the rough waters. He's still here at New Life Bible Baptist Church. Third, faith is believing that Jesus can calm the rough waters. Yeah, I know Jesus can calm the waters. Now, I'll get into this as we go through, but first, let me say this, that storms will come. Amen? They may come unexpectedly. You watch the weatherman. Blue skies, 75 degrees today, a beautiful day. And then, boom, here come the wind, here come the storms, a couple of tornadoes, unexpected. Hard to prepare for unexpected ones, although you can. Second of all, sometimes they're expected. Sometimes we know they're coming. Many hurricanes and tropical storms, we know those things are coming, right? So what do we do? What do we do when we know the storms are coming? The one problem I see in our churches today, and it drives most pastors nuts because we have so many churches. A storm comes up in somebody's life, so what do? They quit that ship and go find another ship. Really? Is that what God wants us to do? Did God want me to jump out of that cruise boat and swim to shore? Did God want the apostles to go jump into one of those three little ships? Now, I got some thoughts on those little ships that went with them, but I'll get to that. And don't build doctrine on it, but I got some thoughts on it to understand something. When the boat's rocking, everybody stays in the ship. And you take care of the ship. It's no wonder 1,700 churches close every month in America. I'll show you something tonight, if you'll come back tonight, and I'll show you the rise of Islam during a time when the church was corrupted in the 6th century. And God rose up a man named Muhammad. And I'll show you what he did, and I'll show you what transpired through all of this. But listen, folks, I do not want, and I know this probably isn't politically correct, I really don't care. By the way, the word politically correctness came from communism, right? So I don't use that term. I do not want America to become a Muslim nation. I want it to be a Christian nation. I'm a Christian. I want to stay, don't you? Then we better do something about it. And I'll show you what we need to do here in just a couple minutes. And it's pretty easy for all of us. The warnings, everything that's there. When the storms came, folks, I stayed in the ship. I'm staying in this ship. I tell you, it's going to be real easy to say, you know something, I'm done. I'll collect my Social Security, go walk away and cut tulips the rest of my life. That's not what God has called me to do. Because when the going gets rough, the rough don't get going. The rough and tough stay where it's at and make sure things get fixed. Sometimes the storms come about as a result of storms of sin in your own life. You know, we wonder sometimes, you know, sometimes, well, how did I get cancer? Maybe it was the three packs of cigarettes you smoked every day. I don't know, just thinking about it, okay? You know, how come I'm in such horrible shape? Maybe you never worked out. Maybe you overate. Maybe you ate the wrong stuff. I don't know. A lot of stuff is what we do. You marry the wrong person and you end up getting a divorce and you wonder, why did God allow that? Well, you chose the wrong person. Why don't you wait for God to choose the right person? Am I right? Help me out here, folks. We choose it sometimes ourselves. Sometimes it's out of ignorance. Sometimes it happened back before we were saved. Understand, just because we get saved doesn't God mean God just erases everything that happened to us. He can. And He could. He erases all the sin. But some of the things we do, listen, you know, young people, take care of what you got because it's the only one you got until you get to heaven, okay? The one body, right? Sometimes it's the result of bad decisions, bad behavior, right? You know, they're down in Texas, and I've got sheriffs. They're trying to figure out if this is a hate crime. Who cares? I tell you what I'd do. There'd be a lynching tomorrow in El Paso. He voluntarily planned out the whole thing to murder 20 people. Now, can one person give me a reason why he ought to be let go? Here's what God said, put them to death. That's what God said. We'd be a whole lot better off if we start following what God said. Right? If we start obeying the Word of God, we'd be a whole lot better off in this country, I'll tell you that much. I don't know where the storm is right now in your life. Sometimes the storm is a result of just living, right? I'm sure there were the people that were shot down there were innocent people. They didn't do anything, okay? I'm sure there's some brothers and sisters in Christ. Same way in Dayton, same way in California, same way in Mississippi. Okay, sometimes it rains on the just and the unjust. The storms come. But we better be ready, folks. Whatever it is, maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial, maybe you're in a battle today with the devil. I think we're in a battle today with the devil. He doesn't like what's going on. He doesn't like souls getting saved. Doesn't like those things. Doesn't like your stance for the Word of God, and he's going to fight. But I'm going to tell you this, Jesus still calms the storm. However bad it is, Jesus still calms the storm. And we'll get into that as we walk through this morning. First of all, understand this, that storms will come. I think of a perfect environment. I think of Hawaii. Isn't it just lovely there? And it's a great place. If you've never been there, it's a nice place to go. Horrible plane ride, but a nice place to go. And it's just, the temperature is like perfect. It's like, but did you know, between 2010 and 2018, they had 20 hurricanes and tropical storms. That's 20 more than we had here in Ypsilanti. Right? So where do you want to live? Ypsilanti or Hawaii, right? But understand something. Those hurricanes and tropical storms came with much warning. They knew those were coming. Now, they had other storms. It just didn't rain 20 times, okay? But it was all there. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is at the end of the first year of his ministry, entering his second. The second is called this year of popularity. He was popular. You know, a popular Jesus is the Jesus that heals people. He brought the dead to life. He made the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. He did all these things. He was very, very popular. His third year, he becomes unpopular because he starts calling out sin, doesn't he? You become unpopular when you talk about sin, but he was popular at this time. It was smooth sailing for the apostles. They've been a year now or a little less with Jesus. And back in Mark 4, we see that Jesus called these 12 men in to be his apostles. There are no apostles today. There were these apostles. There were replacement ones for Judas. Folks, that's all there are, okay? To be an apostle, you have to have seen the risen Christ. And Jim's not here this morning. Keep praying for him. He'd be the only one old enough. I hope he's watching. Always beautiful in Hawaii. And our lives should always be beautiful, right? Shouldn't everything always go well? I mean, shouldn't our finances always be good? Shouldn't our health always be good? Shouldn't our children always obey? Shouldn't our marriages be places just right straight from heaven? Shouldn't our churches be constantly growing? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Isn't that what Jesus told you the day you got saved? He said, all your problems are gone. They aren't, are they? And he tells us in James chapter 1, we'll read that later on, when ye fall into diverse temptations. When they come. It's not if they're going to come, folks. They're coming. The storms are coming in life. All was perfect. And understand something. All was perfect in this world until the devil rebelled in heaven, brought sin to this earth, and sin came upon all men. And Adam and Eve voluntarily sinned against God, rebelled against God, and for as one by one man, Adam sinned in this world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. Everyone in here has sinned. There's not a person in this room who has not sinned. There's not a person who's ever lived who has not sinned, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. And by the way, the result of that sin brought a curse upon the land, and that's where the storms, things like that, that Jesus will send to wake us up. And I believe we're in a storm today that Jesus can wake us up. Now we have a world filled with thorns and thistles and weeds and rebellion and storms and hate and death. It's all right here. Jesus needed to do something here. He needed to take these apostles and let them know, listen, buddy, guys, this isn't all smooth sailing. Some storms are going to come along. And I'm going to show you one right away. Remember, Jesus is still in control. When you're in Hawaii, and I don't know if that's what, see if that shows up. One thing we need to do, folks, is we need to be prepared. So if you're in Hawaii or Florida or Louisiana, and you know a hurricane's coming, you're going to board up your windows, you're going to batten down the hatches, you're going to make sure all those things are done. By the way, the smart person who is in an area where they have a lot of hurricanes and things will have all that stuff already sitting in their garage. They won't be one of the people who, 1 hour before the storm hits, run to Lowe's to buy the plywood because it's gone. Right? And if a storm's coming, you make preparation for that storm. I'm going to tell you something. It's no different spiritually, folks. How do I make preparation for a storm? By being on your knees. Spending time. I'm going to get into this in a little bit. Spending time on your knees. You say, well, Pastor, I can't kneel down. You know what I'm saying? Spending time in prayer. I wonder how our prayer clock's doing. If we could just do a photo of everyone, if everybody's doing their prayer clock time. I wonder. Spending time on your knees. Spending time in the Word of God. Spending time drawing close to the Lord. If He's your shelter and He's your protection, the best place to be in a time of storm is very, very close to Him. Amen? Not all running around doing something else, not caught up in sin, not doing other things. Those people are, they're in trouble. You're not prepared for a storm when it comes. You are in trouble. I remember in 1980, I've shared this before, but the storm that came through, I was in Cincinnati, temperature outside was about 100 degrees or 103 degrees, and the sky turned green, and Karen was in the house with the kids, she saw the storm coming. Rather than wait for the storm to hit, what did she do? She took those kids, and she had learned what to do. She went down into the basement, went into the one corner opposite where the storm would come through, and just sat in that corner singing till the storm passes over. That was going to be our song this morning for the choir, but never choir members here, so we can't do that. But until the storm passes over, until the thunder sounds no more. See, she was prepared and ready for that storm, and even it blew down huge trees and blew the pillars off the front porch and blew those down and all those things. They were safe because they were prepared. When the storms of life hit, the question is, will you be prepared? Jesus was going to teach these men because coming up would be His betrayal, His crucifixion, His burial, and then His glorious resurrection and ascension. They needed to know, and then they would be taking over the church from that point. We're going to take a look at our text here. In our text, we see Jesus, it's Jesus' idea, now watch, to cross from up here in Capernaum to down here to where the Gergesians are, in that area. They're going to cross the sea. It was Jesus' idea. They didn't come up with the idea. You see, Jesus had a plan for a storm. This just didn't happen. What's going on in our church, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your family, what's going on in our nation, it just didn't happen, folks. God knows what's going on. Remember, God's clock is running. And maybe it's time for America to drop down to a third world nation. One of the men this morning said that Donald Trump said that America could never fall, that we're too strong. Oh my goodness. Why would a man ever say that? I don't care if you like him or not like him. Why would anybody say that? Never say that in your life. That I'm too good a Christian to fall. That's pride, folks. And pride cometh before the fall. I pray we're strong, and I don't know the context in which he said it. I don't care who the president was, whoever said that, it's not good. It's not good. It's Jesus' desire now to put these men in the boat. It's now getting towards evening. They're going to go from Capernaum over to Gergesol, the land of the Gadarenes, over on this side. That's where he's planning on going. But Jesus had a plan for that trip. The apostles were on a high. They had just seen and heard Jesus preaching. I can just see him getting on the ship, can't you? Wow, that was awesome. You know that message he brought? Man, that was a great message. And it's riddling back and forth. You know how people are. They talk back and forth about what's going on. And there's three other little ships out there. I think they may have been with the group. Maybe they heard as well. And they all got in their ships. And the few that were in those, maybe they were talking about what they saw and whatnot. At the end of a high, sometimes comes a low. Jesus says in verse 6:35, "Let us pass onto the other side." Now, first of all, there's a promise there that Jesus said we're going to get to the other side, right? Jesus said, "Let's get in the boat and sink halfway." Is that what he said? Jesus said we're going to get to the other side. We're going to pass over to the other side. By the way, they do get to the other side. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. He promises them, we're going to go to the other side. Let's go. The water was probably calm still. Remember, these were fishermen. We have a couple fishermen in here. And they know probably when they can smell the air and know if there's a chance of a storm coming up brewing on the sea. We've been on the Sea of Galilee. And those storms, they can come, but you typically you smell the air a little bit, right? You smell that moisture kind of coming in. The barometric pressure changes. The wind picks up a little bit. All those things happen. Yet I don't see one of these men say, "Jesus, probably not a good idea for us to go because we believe a storm is coming." The other men in the other boat, there was no storm predicted. Now you'll find scientists, they'll say, "Well, we looked at the meteorological record and we couldn't find any evidence of a storm on that day." You know, God does miracles. Do we get that? That's what God does. If you can explain away a miracle, it's not a miracle anymore. Right? So they climb in the boat. They're all ready. No one said anything. Everything look good. Jesus goes immediately to the back of the ship and falls asleep. You do understand Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber." But Jesus was in a human body. I think, since he knew exactly what was going, how many have ever pretended you were asleep? Nobody? Really? Yeah. You know, sometimes, you're newly married and you have a baby and you don't want to get up and the wife's poking you and you're, you don't want to get up, right? There's times maybe as a child you would do that. You heard mom call him and she didn't want to listen, so you feigned the fact you were asleep. You know, we do that. I think Jesus was in the back of that ship. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew what was happening because he had a plan in that storm. He would take them into the storm. Next time you say, "Well, will God ever take us into a storm?" Yep. Mark chapter 4. Not only did He take him into a storm, He created the storm. Because remember, the winds and the seas and the rains all obey His voice. I'm so glad the Lord is with us today, 24/7, 365. What a joy it is. Until the day He carries us home. Now, it's interesting as we read this, they were actually in a larger ship, and there were three smaller ships traveling across the sea with them. Three little ships, one great big ship. Jesus made sure the 13 of them were in the big ship, and everybody else was in those little ships. Storms are going to come up. By the way, do you ever read what happens to the three little ships? I've never seen anything happen to three little ships. I have some thoughts. First of all, there are some people that have good in their life because they are married to or best friends with a Christian and they simply get the residual of what happens in that person's life. And maybe they came through the storm as well because here was Jesus right there. Or Maybe the storm didn't even affect their boats. You ever think about that one? Could Jesus do that? Jesus caused a storm, flood their boat, and see what happens. But I want you to see today what happens. They're traveling along. Faith was being tested. And maybe for the first time since being with Jesus, Jesus would test their faith and see if fear was still there. What would they do? Would they jump ship? Maybe go find... Hey, they do like most Christians do. When the going gets rough, go find another ship. They jump out of the boat and go climb over in the other ship. Maybe that would work. They stayed in the ship, but I want you to see some things as we go through this. Jesus is with us all the way, folks. He was in that ship with them. The storm comes. Now, I want you to carefully watch what happens. Faith is being with Jesus in the rough waters. Right? Here's Jesus. He's in the ship with them. He's in the hinder part of the ship, it tells us here. And it's interesting that when Jesus got on board the ship, what did he do immediately? He went to the hinder part of the ship. That means the storm is going to come up pretty quick. Well, it's not going to happen the next day. This isn't a three-hour cruise, okay? They're not going to end up on Gilligan's Island or anything like that. This is a pretty quick trip. We've been there. It's a pretty quick trip across the Sea of Galilee at that point. So he's going to make this storm. It's going to come up fast. So it's being with Jesus in the rough waters. Now, let's keep going. The apostles' negative example. Now watch this, because this is what happens in a lot of our churches, in a lot of our lives. Right? The apostles here do what we typically do, right? They sought the answer, first of all, amongst themselves. So I look at this in chapter 4. Get back to my text here. The Bible says that he was in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow, right? We go to the previous verse, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Maybe they thought, listen, we can ride out the storm. The waters are coming in, they're coming in, and we're bailing it out, and we're okay. Look it, we don't need you, Lord. You go to sleep. We're doing everything we need to do. And you know what happens in churches? We do the same thing. Think, how do we bring more business? I read articles and articles and articles. Here's how to do this, you know. Put a clown on top of your building and throw out candy and you'll get all these kids coming in. Or dress the pastor up like an Eskimo and make it real cold and you'll get people coming in. We have all these gimmicks, all these games, all these things that we have to do. And I want to tell you something, none of that is the answer. They tried every gimmick I think they could find. Maybe even pulling the cork in the bottom of the boat. I don't know. But that boat was filling up. They were going down, folks. And that's what we do in our life. We run to the doctor. We run to the hospital. We run to a friend. We go get some unwise counsel. What a great verse to read today. I'd tell Michael to read that. But we're not to go to the ungodly and get counsel. Yet that's what we do. We go ask an unsaved friend. We ask a backslidden Christian, what do you think I should do? And they give you good ungodly advice. And then we go do it. And then our problem gets worse. And we wonder, what's going on? These guys didn't go to Jesus first. Jesus was right there in the ship, folks. This wasn't the princess cruise. This was a fishing boat. Right? They didn't have to go to him. They just called to us. How far away? We've seen those ships. They're not very big. Maybe they thought they could do something else. Finally, they come to Jesus. Now watch how they come to Jesus. Ship was full, and he says, look at the last part. And they come to him, they wake him, and say unto him, Master, careth not that we perish? See, now we're coming to Jesus with doubt. Well, I don't know if Jesus can take care of this. I don't know if Jesus could heal me. I don't know if Jesus could do that. Yeah, I don't know what the Lord did. My wife took a test a month or so ago, and it showed there's probably cancer in her colon. We went and had a colonoscopy done. There's no cancer in her colon. You tell me where it went. I don't, The guy just simply passed it off as a false positive. I don't care what you do. My Lord's still on the throne. He's still doing what He does. He can still heal. He can still heal marriages. It's amazing. You know, we have something like we had in our church where you get a family that goes through a divorce. We typically don't lose one family. We lose two or three out of it. Because people can't fix their problems. They can't sit down with each other and come under the Word of God and say, hey, here's what we need to do to fix this. There's no submission in our society. It is me. I. If it ain't best for me, then I'll go someplace else that is best for me because I am. That's God's title, by the way. When we say, I am. I am most important. They come to Jesus immediately, but they come to Jesus with doubt. You know, maybe you follow the example and follow Jesus and you called on Him that you knew. You say, take it to prayer. Yep. I said, Lord, did you heal me? Well, I wish I'd get healed. I wonder what doctor I need to go see. I wonder. Well, I wish God would bring more people into our church. What are we doing? My Bible tells me this, and here's where the answer is, folks. What they should have done was go right straight to Jesus. I do a lot of, my wife and I do a lot of marriage counseling. Usually, by the time the husband and wife come in, it's too late because the guys are just blockheads. Okay? I didn't know there was a problem. Okay? Been going on for about 10 years. But they don't know because they don't know, whatever. You know, we usually get it at the end. That's how we call on Jesus many times. You know, when you call on Jesus is when the first polyp appears. When the first argument in your marriage happens. When your darling little child takes a Milky Way from a grocery store. That's when you start calling on Jesus, folks. Not when your son robs the bank. Got that? We start calling on Jesus early. That's when you call on Jesus. Maybe they would have called on Jesus early. They had no water in the boat. Ever think about that one? Bible says this. Here's the answer to our problems here, to every church's problems. We're not alone, folks. It's all over this country. Here's the answer. It's called prayer. It's called prayer. Now, I'll tell you something. We have prayer meeting every Sunday morning, and I expect men to be here. Why can't we get our butts out of bed and get up here and pray? Why? Because it's not important. That's why. Right. We can go other places. Again, some of you get mad at me. I, right now, listen. If we don't get on our knees, folks, close the doors. Right. It's going to come when we get serious about connecting with Jesus. When we get down on our knees, when we get together and we pray together corporately, when we're here on a Wednesday night and we pray together, when we take time on that clock and we make sure we're praying. The answer is going to Jesus now, not waiting. You're going through a problem in your life. Don't wait to go to Jesus. Go to Jesus now. You're unsaved. Go to Jesus now. Don't wait until the pathologist comes by to examine your body for the autopsy. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is spending time in prayer. It is being on our knees in prayer. It is taking the time every day to pray morning, noon, and night. You know, in the Muslim faith, they're required to pray 5 times a day. You know, maybe we need some requirements in our life, although my Bible says to pray without ceasing. Yeah. Right? We ought to pray. We ought to be people of prayer. We ought to join ourselves together, bring our hearts together, and pray together. Maybe some of our Sunday school classes need to take a whole class time and just pray. What if we took a Wednesday night and came in here and all we did was pray that whole Wednesday night? You know, it's funny. We used to divide up into groups in prayer, and I had people say, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. We need prayer, folks. If I stop the message right now, that's the message. This altar ought to be packed. Praying for our church. Praying through as we go through the storm. Praying, going to Jesus now is what we need to be doing. don't. I don't, as I should. Don't go to Jesus. We try to figure out the problem. We pick up the hood and see if we can figure it out. I had a car one time. I lifted up the hood on that thing. I looked underneath and I just closed the hood. I didn't have a clue what to do. It wasn't like my Volkswagen. Okay? Yeah, I didn't have a clue. I just closed the hood. I did what everybody should do. I went and called AAA. Right? That's what you do. Listen, we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we going to follow the example of these apostles that Jesus gives us? By the way, aren't you glad that the Bible is relevant? It's still the same thing today. It's no different. We're in a storm and we have a choice whether to start bailing or call on Jesus. I think we ought to call on Jesus, don't you? Invitation time. There's a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's turning to Jesus, folks. Like I said, it didn't take me very long actually to put together this message, because He spoke to me and said, "You're going to turn to me? You're going to turn to me and we can fix this, but you got to turn to me." Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that, maybe we could do this. And it's like Jesus was sitting in a chair next to me and said,
"Yeah, right.
I could take care of this for you if you'd like, okay. Don't want to interrupt or, you know, go into your planning party or whatever you've got going here. But, you know, if you want to keep bailing, that's up to you. But we could probably get rid of that water pretty quick if you want to." Yeah. A couple of slides here. I like this one. When facing a storm, remember this. Jesus is still in the boat, folks. Understand that? These apostles, really, they woke up. And we're going to see a positive example that they have. They realize, hey, Jesus is in the boat. He's right here. Aren't you glad that He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He's right there with you. You're going. He didn't pull the Hebrew children that were in the fire. He didn't take them out of the fire. Jesus went in the fire with them.
Right.
He brought them through it. That's what Jesus does. I don't care if it's a family problem, a health problem, a financial problem, a spiritual problem, or your nose is too big. I don't care what it is. Understand something. Jesus is there and He'll bring you through it. But you got to ask Him. You got to turn to Him. You got to surrender yourself to Him. It's called submission. Submitting ourselves unto God. Doesn't the Bible tell us we're supposed to do that? We are. To submit ourselves unto God and to follow what He wants us to do, we lose sight of things. You see, their positive example is this. They realized Jesus was in the boat. Number two, maybe one of them said, "Hey, did you see what Jesus back there did with all that healing stuff? I think He's still in control." They didn't give Jesus the helm of the ship. They just said, "Jesus, we got a problem, and You're in control." Is He in control? Sometimes we're out of control and He's trying to get us in control. Because He's in control and we're out of control. Right? This is still His church, folks. Not my church, your church. It's God's church. It's the Lord's church. The Bible says, you know, that He adds to the church. First thing you want to pray is say, "Lord, is there something in my life that's stopping You from bringing people to our church?" Achan had a problem. And Achan had to become bacon before things got fixed. Right? Understand something. It's not time to turn and run. It's time just to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. To realize the Lord is in full control. We, as individuals, as a church, come up with our own ideas. But look at Jesus' plan works. It always has. Jesus' plan is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Jesus' plan. We're going through a storm. We can look at all of ours and we say, are we doing our plans? Or are we doing His plans? We have a great service coming up next Sunday night. I only made 100 flyers out there because I have a lack of faith that we'll even take those to go hand them out door to door. Hey, folks, I'm getting tired. We need to do what we're supposed to do. It's God's plan. God would tell them what to do in that ship. He'll tell us what to do, but we have to listen to it. God, you're in full control, they would say, and then turn around and do their own thing. We need to do what God tells us to do. Two things we ought to be doing is praying and going out door to door and witnessing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the duty of the church. Finally, they realized that Jesus was prepared to act. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. Remember? Right? How many of you today? Jesus is sitting there like, I can tell people you like, okay, just call on me, right? Call on me if you like some help, maybe. I can do that. Or just do it the way you're doing it. And let me know how it works out for you. I remember when I was going through the cancer and my doctor asked what day of the week I take off. And I said, Friday. And she looked at me right smack in the eyes and said, how's it working out for you? I said, well, I took a Friday off about 4 weeks ago. She says, yeah, that's why you have cancer too. Look, they finally get to Jesus. And the doubt. I want you to see, faith is believing that Jesus can calm the storm. See, they had the doubt. Do you care if we perish or not? By the way, if you're here without Christ, He cares if you perish. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants every soul saved. Your choice whether to trust in Him or not. Verse 39, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, storms can end one of two ways. Storms do eventually end. Do you understand that? You can have a stormy marriage and ends up in divorce. You can have a stormy medical problem and ends up in death. You can, or maybe you somehow get healed, but you walk with a limp the rest of your life. Storms can go by. The question is, do we learn from the storms? Jesus wanted these men to learn from this storm. To learn not to fear, to put their faith and trust in Him, to realize He was in control, that He was with them, that He was ready to act on their behalf. The Lord is ready to act on our behalf, on your behalf. But we must call on Him. We know faith is built in the rough waters. We know that faith is being with Jesus in the rough waters. But how critical it is in our life to believe that Jesus can calm the waters. I've heard people say, oh, my faith just isn't that strong. I'm just not strong enough. And baloney. We all serve the same Jesus, right, if we're saved. And He'll give us the strength to do what we need to do. The song the choir sings is called, Why Should I Fear? Why should I fear? Jesus is near. Jesus is near to you as He was in that boat with these men. Jesus can calm any storm in your life that's going on. We just need to stay with Him. It's not time to bail. It's not time to run. It's not time to quit. We have a lot of people that sit at home, some watching this, and they quit, they gave up, they're not doing that, about whatever it might be. You know something? That's their problem. Drown in the water if you want to, but I'm going to stay in the ship. And if we would start praying like we were supposed to pray, I would hope today, when we have an invitation today, that we'd have a lot of people coming to pray. I'd pray this altar be filled. Should be. Fear not, He said. The question is this: how do I trust Jesus in the storms of life? Do I go my own way and do my own thing and then complain about what happens? Or what do I do? behind you this morning. Understand that Jesus allows the storm. But remember this, that Jesus is in the storm. He's in the boat with the apostles. He's in your home with you. He's right there with you as you go through something. Maybe it's individually. He's right here in this church and every other church in America that's going through difficulties. You do understand that only in the Americas is Christianity shrinking. It is growing in every other continent that's out there. It's time to turn to Jesus, folks. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to pray. It's time to get rid of that unconfessed sin and get rid of it. It's time to say, am I the reason, and take care of it and confess it and move forward. It's time to realize today that the rough waters are there for a reason, that Jesus is in those rough waters with us and He's ready to calm the storm. I don't know about you, I love it when storms stop. I don't know if I didn't see my grandkids come in. I don't know if they're here or not. I had a saw in London this morning. I don't see them, so I don't know. Are they coming? All right, get up here. There's a little song that they weren't, because I want to tell you something today. Jesus was God before He ever got in that boat. And Jesus was God when that boat got to the other shore. We got there. Everybody grab a microphone. Over there. Amen? All right. Sing that for me before I do this last one. It all should be on. Turn around and Mr. Steve back there has you ready to go. It's a song called He'd Still Been God.
Master cannot now that we perish. Can you see that we're about to die? This whole world is surely going under. Save us now, His disciples cry. Show me the success of the tempest. Knowing the disciples had no faith. Just to prove that He was the master. He just spoke and wind of the rain. He's still been God, even in the form of agency. He's still been God, even in the form of controversy. He's still been God, even in the form of controversy. He's not what I did, it's all I needed. Even in the most miracle, Jesus would have still been God. Mary was His love and not the mother. She was the prophet of her son. As a angel came to her, the love is the blessed Son of God. So when they were loving at the mountain, waiting for a miracle to prove that He would be the one great Messiah, she just smiled because she already knew. He's still been God, even in the midst of so much vacancy. He's still been God, even in the midst of so much vacancy. He's still been God, even in the midst of so much vacancy. It's not all I did, it's all I knew it was. But even in the midst of the miracle, Jesus was still been God.
Amen. Even if He never come and done us on a miracle, Jesus would have still been God. Amen? He is God. He's the Son of God. He is God in human flesh. He is God incarnate. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The very God who created nothing was made that wasn't made by Him. He'll make the storms to build our faith, to make us stronger, to get us ready. I will share some things with you tonight. Listen, folks, those days could happen again. And my question is, are you strong enough to go through whatever may come? The little storms will seem like nothing in a few years if things continue the way they are. We ask you today, will you come and pray for this church? Pray for those that are with you. Pray for those. Maybe you're going through a storm. He says, peace, be still. I love how he finishes this because he just simply tells them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And by the way, here's the response. I'm closing with this verse. It's called a wow moment. You ever have a wow moment with Jesus? You know what a wow moment is? Wow. What he did is amazing. You know, we'll go look at things at the Grand Canyon and say, wow. We'll go look at a building and be like, wow. You know, we look at those things. When's the last time you looked at God and went, wow, he's my Savior? And they feared exceedingly. And we told them not to fear. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey you. Man, they got an alarm clock awakening, didn't they? They saw what Jesus did. Now they saw what Jesus did for them. You know, in your prayer time, you need a few wow moments. Rather than taking your Kroger shopping list to Jesus, why don't you sit down sometime with him and just go, wow, what you have done in my life. The storms you have, you know, he's brought you through storms you didn't even know you had. He's kept you safe when you didn't even know what happened. That's your God. That's the God who takes care of you. That's the one who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's the one we worship. That's the one we praise. That's the one we come to in prayer. How about you today? First of all, if you've never trusted in Christ, you can't look at a time in your life when you repented of your sin and asked Jesus to save your soul. When this invitation starts today, when the music starts and I'm done praying, you get out of where you are and you come up here, let somebody take a Bible and show you today how to be saved. Second of all, Christians, listen to me. Why don't we get to an altar and pray? Why don't we spend some time and say, Lord, we're in a storm, and you're the only one that can take us through this storm. By the way, do you ever wonder what happened to the water in the ship when they got done? Now, I know this. I've watched a few pictures of Stan and Matt back there. And I know this, when a boat gets filled with water, what does it do? What's it do? A full boat sinks, right? Yeah. They just kept going over to the other side. Not only did Jesus calm the storm, not only did Jesus calm the wind, but Jesus got the water out of the boat. I have no idea how he did that. But then that's God, right? Yeah? Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I thank you for this message for me. I thank you today for the storm. Sometimes when things are going very smooth, we lose sight of who you are. And Lord, I pray today that as individually we go through storms, the churches in America, and this one in particular, we go through storms as our nation goes through a storm. Lord, that we would turn to you, you first, in prayer. Not even seeking what we should do, but simply coming to you and allowing you to lead us, to guide us. This is your church. These here that are saved are your children. Lord, you do care. You care for those here today that are unsaved, never trusting in Christ. We pray today, as this invitation is given, that these would come and pray, that these who are unsaved would come and have somebody pray with them, that they may find peace in Jesus Christ. We ask this now in our Savior's name. Amen. With heads bowed.